Hello, I'm Anam Farr from International Detective Dragons from Outer Space, and I listen to the Roll Monkeys. I may not be there to play the game, but I can sure have one hell of a good time hearing it. So roll those dice, guys. I want to find out what happens next.
The Handsome Hopping Monkey and Algae's Consider present the Roll Monkeys!
Seven. Here we are.
Two.
Born to be kings.
Three,
we
two,
are
three,
princes
five.
Of the universe. We are the Roll Monkeys.
What? Do I have to chop off your head now?
There can be only one.
I think there's only one group of Roll Monkeys. I think it's more appropriate.
You keep on saying that today.
I don't have think it means what you think it means.
Right. Except no substitutes.
Yeah.
Do you want us to play?
A game.
Would you like to play a game?
Yeah. No, this is how we play.
Yeah.
Let's play global thermal.
This is how we roll.
This is how we roll. I was thinking about making that our tagline, but like six or seven other podcasts have used that recently. And plus it was trite.
Let's not beat the dead monkey, okay?
Hey. Hey. Let's see.
I want to learn something this century. Let's get gaming and.
Yes. All right, we shall begin.
Super Bowl of the century. What?
Spirit of the century. But that's all right because we're pretty much on target at 7:29, and we usually begin at about 7:30.
There we go.
Yay. Okay.
That's why I talk like.
Or white people, by the way, doesn't it?
So remind me because I don't have the slightest idea. Where were we? No.
I know. We had just
there was some kind of brunch going on with Townsend and Nathan and Anna Romani.
Yes. Yeah. I was interrupting.
And we had just captured Monkey Wrench.
No, you did not.
What?
Seriously, what were you doing, Captain Joey? What was Captain Joey doing?
We had just finished the communications.
Yeah. Oh, so you were fixing the communications.
Yeah, okay. In the down zeppelin.
Oh, and then you talked to Smitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we had Smitty check in on that address for us.
Yeah.
And she's going to check in on
for
that.
For the Viper.
At a certain... For the Vinda Viper.
The Viper.
So you guys are going to call her back at some point.
Yeah, and I'm still carrying around a bomb.
Oh, oh, there's the bomb!
Oh, man.
It's a bomb plot.
It can be handy later.
It might. What do you do with my new discovery? I've got a bomb.
Click. I do not understand.
You should keep that.
So, let's see. Something that we haven't been doing that maybe we could do is... For the sake of the podcast, I don't want to do a whole lot of stuff just for the sake of the podcast, but if we are going to go ahead with this, each one of us should say in our own voice who we are and what character we're playing so that people down the road will have a better... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, we did this at the very beginning, but maybe we should do it at the beginning of each episode. Okay. So, starting with Chris.
Should I do my player voice or my voice?
Say hi, whatever you want to do. You can say, hi, I'm Chris Heim in your voice, and hi, I'm Captain Joey Shade in Joey's voice. I don't know, whatever.
I'm Chris Heim, and I'm playing Captain Joey Shade. You may have heard of me from such classics as All Games Considered, and I wish I had this show in real life. Sit back and relax, kiddies, because I'm a flyboy with a panache for fighting and chicks.
Max, you're up.
I'm Max Massey. I'm playing Sir Nathan Appleby from the famous novel Nathan Appleby and the Savage Ape-Man of the Forgotten City.
Not as famous as mine.
I'm a gentleman adventurer from the greatest of all nations, Great Britain.
Clay Carwan playing Townsend York, and
Don't need a bomb.
That's all anybody needs to know.
It's a need-to-know basis.
Yes, it is.
And I'm Mark Kinney, playing the legendary techie and inventor, Stan Rocket.
All right. So, that's everybody. Great. Okay. So, quick recap. Where we left off, as we said, you guys had Stan and Joey had fixed the communications equipment and had been in touch with Smitty, who had informed you guys that the crew of the Zeppelin did, in fact, survive, and they were down in the town at the base of the mountain. We're all up on the top of in a big chateau slash hotel slash resort, whatever you want to call it, ski lodgy thing that Seth Lord has rented out for the entire weekend so that he can invite a small select group of academics and business people and centurions to witness the unveiling of this new discovery.
Is this like a timeshare thing? Because I don't want to get roped into one of those.
No, it's not even.
They're trying to like sell it to us.
Okay.
Temper and Dether may not be much left.
It would be so kind of it would be kind of funny in tongue
it's sounding like
you
that.
Could in theory call this a pyramid scheme. We shall see.
That's a horrible pun.
We could
but
call
they
this
can't
a
see
pyramid
it.
Scheme.
Well, let's get on with it.
Let's build our network. All right. Okay, so
give us $5.
Let's start with the luncheon or the brunch. Wasn't it brunch?
Brunch. Yes.
Brunch. We're having brunch with Anna Romani. Townsend and Nathan are two British dandies.
Dandy and probably yeah. Not as dandy.
Not so dandy. Not so
and
dandy.
Nathan had just
it's good cop bad cop, right?
And Nathan had just gentlemen, thank you yeah. very much.
And I remember that Nathan had just blown off Townsend.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
The other word?
Oh, that's right, because Nathan was like, why are you here? I'm trying to have lunch with this woman.
And then he just pointedly said, you should go.
I forget the exact phrasing.
Yeah, but it was something like that.
It was essentially
piss off, old man.
A little space, please, goodbye.
I say, you're cramping my style.
And you know, you can tag each other's aspects and stuff if you want.
Yeah. We said character will be looking at him with it, but she did poison you.
Oh, dear Lord.
But, no, you made me
oh my goodness.
As we start early,
talk about a curveball. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they look right back at her like, was it you were supposed you did, you know, was it you poisoned him, really? Like, waiting for her response to that.
I
just want to say real quick. Since we can invoke other people's aspects, it might be good if we actually have a list of all the other people's aspects. That we're not looking across going, what'd you have?
Well,
at least the other player characters.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not a bad idea. I'm not going to produce that for you right now, though.
Okay. But I mean, if there was something that Townsend could invoke in Nathan, or the other way around.
That's not unreasonable. That's not a bad point. I'm just saying.
Not right now,
I know, but I'm just saying that. Since but I that think, was brought. Well,
yeah. Hopefully, we've come far enough. I mean,
we do a full campaign. I think that would definitely.
Yeah. Well, even at this point, you guys probably, if you think about it, know at least the two or three most important aspects of each other just by the fact that they've been used so often. Everybody knows that you're a ladies' man, cocky son of a bitch. Everybody knows that he's a dandy. Everybody knows that he is dark and
nosy.
and everybody knows that Stan is big time on the gadgetry.
Yeah,
and
he's MacGyver.
He's a big man in gadgetry.
He's in gadgetry.
But yeah, I'm just saying that if it.
It's complicated.
In the case where it comes into a point where there might be a conflict between two players over whether or not he's going to stay, you can role play through it because that's what we naturally do, but you could also invoke each other's aspect or tag each other's aspects if you choose to do so. I think. God, I hope I'm not wrong about that. The fact of the matter is, I'm not wrong about it, because even if it's not the way it's supposed to be in the rule book, that's the way we're doing it right now.
You're the GM. I mean, that's
well, we are the group that's playing. This is what I'm getting at. So
yes.
I make lots of. I mean, I for what this is a tangent, but
I'm sorry.
A quick one. But I'm just
thanks, Chris.
We are going I mean, I want to try to play this as much by the rules as possible until we get used to it. Mm-hmm. We're working up to playing by the rules, and then maybe we'll play by the rules a couple of times. And then we'll decide if we need to play by the rules, and after that we won't. But I want to at least give the rules a chance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
See if it works before we go changing it.
Because I don't want to be cocky and assume that we don't need this rule or that rule in our particular group. So, but we also have the situation where I can read this book 19 times. I'm still not going to know what I'm doing until we've played through it a few times.
True.
More than a few times, probably. So I just try to work on a couple of things per session, and tonight I'm going to work on minions and lieutenants and companions and bad guys.
Oh, my.
In case we get into a fight later. We'll see.
Just on the off chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right now Townsend has...
But I don't see any particular I don't see any particular reason why you couldn't say, I will give you one of my chips, Townsend, if you back off. I will tag one of your aspects.
Basically find an aspect of his that would apply in the situation and compel it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you wanted to do it that, I mean, maybe that doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just compelling each other's aspect.
I mean, I don't know if there's an aspect that he could that Townsend has that you could compel. I know that he could give you a fate chip, Max, and say, Nathan, you're much too proper to tell me to get the hell out of here. So,
We'll see. We'll see how this plays out.
And then you could shove it back at him and say, no, I am going to tell you to get the hell out of here. So,
then we can waste all our fate chips on each other. And that's
right.
Spend time pushing them back and forth.
Spirit of the century.
All right. That being the case, I'm going to... Okay. My commitment, let's do this fun story.
Right. All right. Let's do this.
So she's like... She gasps when you say... what did you say?
We said...
She poisoned you.
Well, she did poison you earlier.
I'm afraid... I haven't made myself clear. Your presence is not required at this moment. I will be happy to speak with you after I've had breakfast with my companion.
Well if
Thank
I,
you.
If I only wanted to speak
Goodbye.
To you, really didn't want to speak to you, and was it really wanted to talk to her.
Nathan, I believe this man is provoking me into some sort of behavior that is unseemly and ungentlemanly and very un-British.
I believe you're right.
Perhaps my personal experience.
Perhaps we should find another spot to enjoy breakfast. Perhaps one of those smaller tables.
I'm going to follow you. I hate to think that. I'm just going to... Let's be honest. Was it... The fact that earlier she did poison you still remains...
She did not poison me. Okay? I'm still healthy.
You're still healthy.
I've not been poisoned.
Yes. And she's probably a member of the spider, what's it? Kabul. Arachnid Kabul, whatever it is. Was it? I left Ireland for this, alright? Was it?
If you will let me handle this situation, I assure you, these subjects will be raised with a bit more delicacy than you seem capable.
It's true, I'm not delicate, you're right.
I just need to get a picture. Is this conversation between you two taking place like where you pulled him to the side and she's not supposed to hear? I'll handle this. Don't worry about it. Or, you know, I mean, what is she hearing all this? I mean, I know you don't care. York doesn't care. What does Nathan do?
I'm not dragging him out of the room. I'm trying.
But you're trying to be discreet?
I'm trying to be discreet, but I'm not going to, like, drag him 20 feet away and make absolutely certain there's no way anyone else can hear us. There's probably a chance she can hear us.
Alright.
I'm almost...
Unless she has super spider hearing.
I know she can hear her.
Yes. I am deliberately trying to be heard here. Talking to him but watching her reaction to what I'm saying, kind of playing the conflict for what it's worth.
I'm willing to have this discussion with you, but not right now.
I didn't realize this was a discussion with you. I'm more interested in why she poisoned you.
Is it on?
To her, would you like to shed a little light on in that? Was it the whole thing with the wine glass?
I apologize for this. I had no idea my companion was so lacking in the social graces.
Well, I assure you, sirs, I poisoned no one. I don't understand what you're implying. No, you're not implying anything. I don't understand what...
I'm not implying anything.
I don't understand your accusation.
Okay, let me explain it to you.
If I can't get rid of you, will you at least be quiet for a few minutes?
No, see, you're going to go 0 for 2 here. That's right, John.
Let me speak with... You can stay here and listen. Mm-hmm. Let me speak with the lady for a few moments. Will you do that for me?
Sure.
Thank you. Again, I apologize. I have no idea what's come over him. What my ill-mannered compatriot is referring to is...
You know, I didn't come here so that I could be interrogated by two British gentlemen.
I know. And
I invited you to brunch because I'm extremely attracted to you and very interested.
And I to you. And again, I apologize, but this appears to be the only way we're going to receive any sort of peace and quiet at all.
Ah, so what you're saying is if I will sit here and subject myself to whatever it is that you have to offer me over the next few minutes, then there is the good chance that we may be able to have the romantic interlude that I have been pining for the past 2 days.
So it is a timeshare scheme.
I started looking around for some waitstaff.
Okay. Yes. There are waitstaff all over the place. What do you want? May I help you, sir?
Yes. Apparently there was some sort of misunderstanding. The lady and I were hoping for a private table, and this gentleman doesn't seem cognizant of the fact. I wonder if there is anything you might be able to do about that.
Well, we've had to shuffle ourselves around quite a bit over the past few hours because they're setting everything up upstairs in the Grand Hall. So we've sort of... lost a lot of our breakfast space.
I understand. So you're not at all in the habit of offering your guests any sort of amenities.
Oh, damn!
Perhaps I need to speak with the manager, with the concierge. Oh, I believe he knows me.
Oh, well played, well played.
Well, we could.
What was your name again?
To her. You could me being rude. What the hell?
We could deliver everything that you would like delivered, complimentary brunch to your room or to the ladies' room if you would like, and of course that would be an assurance of privacy, would it not? Please, sir?
If that's the best that can be done, I suppose so. Have it sent up to room 413.
As you wish, sir.
I hope you have no objections, my dear, but this appears to be the only way we're going to get
I have no objections whatsoever, Mr. Appleby.
Good day, Mr. York. I will see you this afternoon.
I hope so. Looking back at her. Okay.
Goodbye, Mr. York. It's been a pleasure seeing you again.
Well, she said nothing about talking to you.
Yes.
We've got a Roger Moore Bond, and we've got the Daniel Craig Bond.
Right. Yes.
And then you've got Q.
We've got the blunt Q.
And Tom Cruise.
Hey. As Felix Leiter. Tom Cruise as Felix Leiter.
I would never bang Katie Holmes.
Anyway. All right. So, you guys go upstairs. What are you going to do, Townsend?
Sit there and stew for a second. Figure out what I'm going to do next.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Shade and Rocket. Rocket and Shade.
Rocket Shade.
What are you gentlemen up to?
Let's see. Well, we would have just unhooked the radio from the...
Yeah, you've just finished talking to Smitty.
And we're in the
and
area.
And unhooked the thing.
Yeah. And you said that we're in the area where they're getting all
of
this stuff.
You're in the grand room, so they're setting up.
Well, I'm just going to look around.
Well, I mean, it's okay.
Not, wander around, but just
At this point in the day, since it's fairly early in the day, if I remember the way we described it before,
like
it's brunch. It's brunch time. Yeah. So, essentially, the stuff that they're bringing in isn't in. It's just that they've cleared away most of the dining tables and most of the extraneous things that are usually in this room to make room for stuff that they're going to carry in later. So, after they stop looking at the two of you in abject weirdness for
attaching
wires to the ceiling.
And for some reason having a large bomb on hand.
Yeah, where is...
I probably got that stashed away somewhere by now. Yeah.
I like the image of you just carrying
it. Do you hit a bim and you're big?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Yes,
sir.
I do.
No, it's in my jacket.
Yeah, talk about Rocket. Anyway. He's going to be... okay, where were we? Okay, so...
He was looking around at the big empty room.
Yes, you're looking around the big empty room. You guys have an agenda? You guys got, like, what do you want to accomplish before, you know, later today when the big unveiling is supposed to take place? What things do you guys want to do?
I don't know.
Stan has been up this whole night and probably wants some breakfast.
Okay. Breakfast.
And
sounds good.
So what do you think happened to Caitlin?
I don't know. But I...
We found that out, remember? What? Her bed wasn't slept.
Oh, yeah.
In.
I don't really know, but I know that she didn't go back to her room. Or at least, she didn't sleep.
Hmm.
So claims the maid. Quite peculiar indeed.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go with this.
Okay. Well, what are you concerned, Joey, with doing before tonight's unveiling? Given the fact that I may not have set up enough
crew in the next town.
So that's what I was afraid of.
And
the
also
fact that you weren't
the...
here 1 week and we had to set up this whole Migamorovi thing, yeah, thing has now got your attention.
Yeah. Thank you. That's your fault.
Yeah, I had to add a story element in to bring you back in, and now that's got your attention, which is perfectly understandable.
We know that they're safe.
We should have just gone with death.
We already know that there's a good possibility that Monkey Wrench was involved in that town. How safe is that town? We should investigate. Although, I don't see how we can do it before the big hurrah, so to speak.
Especially considering that the big snowstorm made it impassable last I checked, but...
Yeah, you
have
to walk
down. Nothing is impassable for Captain Joey Shade.
You can't punch a snowstorm, dude. Well, you could try. But...
Well, Stan at least would be taking the radio set back to the... to the communications room. He's going to be heading downstairs for some breakfast.
Okay.
I know
exactly what
I'm
doing now. So you take
I'm going to follow you back to the communications room. I was just curious.
I agree with the storyline and what we're actually doing.
No. Because I want...
We're trying
to. I don't have a predetermined set of things. I literally want to know what you guys want to investigate.
You know, I was just curious.
I know that what you want to investigate just went up to 403
yes,
with Nathan Appleby.
Yeah, I don't know. I know what I need to do about that now, too.
Okay.
So,
perhaps we should keep
you
it.
Bug my room, aren't you?
Might have a use
no.
later on.
That's what I was thinking.
Champagne.
All right.
Then I know
especially after the concierge wouldn't take it. But that's...
So you're going to keep the bomb.
Yeah.
And so you guys are going to go down and get breakfast.
With the bomb.
No.
In his jacket. Like, he stashed it somewhere. Anywhere you want to. You
yeah,
know,
we're going
to
give...
let's consider it stashed, but if you need to pull it out of your jacket at some point, there it is.
It's okay. In your
bag. We'll do it that pulpy way.
Yeah.
So, Townsend is in the room when you two come in to eat some brunch.
Okay.
Nathan is not.
Perhaps we can.
So the three of you, Townsend, Joey, and Rocket... are present here in the brunch room.
We're getting some grub.
It says, Nathan apparently has said, gone and had brunch, was it, in one of their rooms because I interrupted it. He's with that Anna lady.
It's you interrupted?
Brunch, yes. I know it's shocking.
Townsend, we've had talks about this before.
Remember
that one time in Paris? Yes. I was trying to get information out of that young lady.
Yes. One second. I need to order something from the waitstaff here. What's it?
This is St. Hamless guy.
St. Hamless guy. Yes. Sorry about the whole thing. I need to send a bottle of champagne up to room 403.
Hey, what was that?
403, whatever the room was.
The people in 403 are like,
hey! No, whatever the room was.
403 is my room.
A bottle of champagne.
I'll take care of it right away, Mr. Rourke. Right.
Sorry, I need to handle something right now. As I'm screwing up to that room, so that as the bottle of champagne comes and they open the door, I can smash in and ask one more question.
You're gonna make me call you out, aren't you?
All right, one question.
Well, he's persistent.
No question.
So you guys eat breakfast. Okay. He's doing this. He leaves. They bring a bottle of champagne up to 413. Anna and Nathan are in 413. They've only been there for a few moments. The food and the champagne arrive at the same time, along with Townsend York.
This guy walks in without even
Who walks into the room.
Into our food, champagne, Townsend York. Oh, wait a minute.
I said one just...
I beg your pardon.
One second. One quick question. I'll be gone. How long have you been a member of the Arachnid Cabal? Right to her. I bet you're a member.
Are we getting into social combat here?
I seriously thought his nemesis Proctor would have brought you along if you weren't a member. He brought lackeys. He brought Vandemore.
Please step out, York. Now.
She's probably working for your nemesis.
Please step out of the room now, York.
Can I get an answer?
Now.
Can you get an answer?
Would one of you gentlemen please fetch security?
Well, yes, sir.
No, I'll leave. Your skin.
Really, this is intolerable.
I know that Chips and Aspect should have been flying just then.
Yeah.
But the way I see it, we got out of it without the Chips and the Aspects flying, so let's move on.
Yeah.
And she didn't get a chance to say anything, and you're out the door. So
she could say something. I'm sure there was a period where I was telling him get out now and before he reacted.
Well, she didn't say anything. She just was affronted. And then you said get out and all of that happened. So she never said a word.
No.
Did you get a read off of her? Are you going to try? I mean, even
was
without it? Her saying anything, maybe.
I'll try.
Okay.
It's the way she didn't say anything.
Was it?
You can say something.
So you could certainly do... how do you do a read?
It's an empathy check.
Yeah. Against my resolve.
Against your resolve. Yeah.
And if you use like one of your stunts or something, you can't lose or something like that?
No.
You can't lose. I don't remember what it was. There's something that you've got that...
Basically, he automatically knows if someone's lying.
You can tell if...
Someone's using the skill deceit.
I see, yes. Well,
he doesn't know what the truth is, but like,
I do know that
he picks up on it.
It was at,
So oh, go
no,
ahead
this
and
be deceit, though.
Do it.
Yeah. I'll use an aspect. Right? What was it? People are like books.
Yeah.
Reroll that.
Oh, reroll.
Oh my god!
Oh, it's worse!
She's deeply in love with me!
It's a 3.
Okay, that's still not bad.
Of 2.
You are reinforced in your certainty that she is hiding something from somebody.
Mm-hmm. Probably hiding something.
She reads just like a book in Swahili.
And, yeah, she's not to be trusted by anyone that you consider intelligent.
But I would think that any time Townsend botches a roll, he would automatically assume that someone can't be trusted.
Well, but the the point being that even with three minuses on his roll, he still got a three.
Oh, yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah, a two. That's a
and was it Skeptic Zero isn't a role. I mean, if
well, if she had said anything, then you'd know that she was deceiving you, but she didn't. Her look was deceitful. I don't know, Something's not
It's that faint was it
you've discovered nothing to take away your instinct that she is bad. So, let's get to what Nathan's going to try to do here.
Oh, yeah.
No more interruptions. Once the waitstaff have brought in the food and everything, once they leave, I'm going to lock the door.
Uh-huh.
And do my best to serve a fine British luncheon.
Okay.
Once again, I apologize for these constant interruptions. I really don't know what to say. I apparently wildly misjudged Mr. York. And I'm, for the first 10 minutes or so, I'm just going to be pleasant and diplomatic and not really do anything serious, but, just
exchange
pleasantries.
Proper British dandy?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But, boy, those weird and odd feelings of powerful attraction that you're not accustomed to having, especially for someone that you've only just met.
Or someone who's British.
But she's so beautiful. She's so alluring. She's so very Prester's date. And you could one-up him in such a big way.
But... And I'm keeping that in mind, but at the same time...
By the way, I'm waving a fate chip in his face.
At the same time, in his rude, blundering way, Townsend York has reminded me that I am actually intending to try to get some information out of this woman, so I'm doing my best to resist these urges.
Really? Because...
Oh. Ooh. Ooh.
How about...
It's now two chips.
Because this is getting more difficult every minute. Your resistance is waning. Something is, in fact, coursing through your system, giving you an intense desire beyond your previous experience with desire.
I am a centurion, I am a gentleman, and I am a Brit.
Case closed. All right, then.
I'll leave it to the listeners to decide which of those three is most important.
Very well, then. Okay, so you proceed in control of your faculties.
And essentially, as I said, for the first 10 or 15 minutes, just exchanging pleasantries.
Okay.
But eventually I'm going to, probably when we're finishing the main course and just nibbling... and I'm using all my British charm and gentlemanliness and so on. This is a rather delicate subject, and I apologize in advance if I give offense. But what my ill-mannered friend was referring to a while ago was, I have reason to believe that, well, let me put it to you this way. How well do you know Archibald Prester?
Not well.
I have reason to believe that he is using you to further his own ends.
Why would he do a thing like that?
Because he is not in any respect a gentleman except a very thin veneer.
Well, I think you proved that at lunch yesterday.
He and I have been at odds for a great many years, and...
I sensed a connection between the two of you.
Yes. We will rarely pass up an opportunity to, as the Americans say, get one up on each other.
Well, my dear Nathan, surely you're not suggesting to me with this delicate subject that you're trying to bring up that the only reason that you're wooing me so effectively right now is because you're trying to get one up as the Americans.
Good heavens, no.
Aren't you better?
I give you my word as a gentleman, that is not the intent. Although I must admit, it does add a certain spice.
Oh, my
A true gentleman is always there for a damsel in distress, and you certainly seem to be in distress yesterday.
I do appreciate a true gentleman. And she gets up and she moves to you very quickly and embraces you and tries to plant a big giant kiss on you.
Alright.
And you'll be responding to the kiss how?
Waving the fate chip. Back to the side.
Can I compel it to ask my
Only if you're in the room. Are you hiding under the bed?
No.
Yeah, I'd like to see
outside the window.
did you put the mic inside the champagne?
No.
Aww.
I thought that would be a decent reminder of what happened through the ring champagne.
She kisses you for 1 second, 2 seconds.
She's coming to kiss me, and we get a sort of black and white flashback inside Nathan's head.
Before she kisses you, you're saying this?
Yes. Okay. And she's coming towards me. Stan Rocket basically figuring out that there's some sort of strange substance in the lipstick, not in the champagne. And so I sort of catch her shoulders as she comes up and says, please, let me finish.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
All right, give it over. Really? You're going to need these later, I assure you. Because maybe, this only gets worse.
Maybe she... Maybe she managed to kiss me for a couple seconds before I...
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, then you can have... One, we'll call it even. Okay. We'll call it a draw. But then you pull away.
I just can't bring the lipstick. It just doesn't work.
You know, as you pull away, and you look, and you just because it's on your mind, you actually make note of the fact that she is in fact not wearing any lipstick, as far as your brain is interpreting at this point.
As far as my brain is interpreting, huh?
Well, I'm just saying, you look and you see that she's not wearing any lipstick.
Okay.
She's captivating without it.
She doesn't need lipstick. And so I sort of gently push her away.
But then the gentleman can be too gentlemanly at times.
Mr. Curse.
Well,
uh-oh.
In Romania, we know much about curses. We also know much about romance.
Yes, and we must revisit that subject, but...
deflector shields are up!
I beg your indulgence, m'lady, but I really must see this subject through to its conclusion. Because I am concerned that Archibald Prester may have brought you here for the specific purpose of doing ill to me, without your knowledge, of course. I'm sure a woman such as yourself would never be party to this.
Very well, Sir Nathan. If that is the way you want to proceed, then I believe that I will cut our luncheon short here, go back to my room, and perhaps see you again this evening at the unveiling.
I've given offense, my lady. I do deeply apologize.
Yes, well, settle your whatever accounts you need to settle with Archibald, and see if you can see your way through to being more open after you've dealt with him in whatever way you men need to deal with these things.
I just bow.
And when you come back up from your bow, she's not there.
Ooh. Did I hear the door close, or did she teleport out?
Well, I'm not.
Are there strange arachnids on
I'm not saying that she teleported out, but... And the door Maybe closes.
It's one of those really good doors that you can't hear it close.
You would actually probably have to throw me another chip in order to have your senses clear enough. Because what your senses, all your senses tell you is that you bow, mm-hmm. and when you come back up, she's Batmaned on you. She's gone.
I do have alertness.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying. If you want to make a roll, a perception roll, you'll have to. But normally, whether or not a door closes is not something I'm going to make you roll on. But in your situation,
your brain
is muckety muck a little bit. Although you've done an admirable job of.
Actually, it probably wouldn't occur to me.
Okay.
It occurred to Max, but it probably wouldn't occur to Nathan.
Okay.
However, unless you want to say it's not, I'm...
Well, if it doesn't occur to you, that means you get a chip.
Okay. Which I immediately drop on the floor.
Yay! I've compelled your aspects, and you've allowed the compel for story purposes. That's the perfect example.
Alright.
This is a temporary aspect. You know about this, right? Yes. I told you. Yeah.
However, and I'll toss this back if that's what it takes.
We'll see what happens.
I said about tidying up the luncheon and deciding what to do now, and then it occurs to me, and I get a handkerchief. I've always got a handkerchief, of course.
Of course.
And wipe my lips and see if there is actually any lipstick on the handkerchief.
No, nothing comes off the handkerchief. I mean, the handkerchief does not reveal.
Okay.
But you're still woozy in...
Well, that's just your natural charm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. No, you don't have to give me a chip to do that. All right. We should probably move to other characters. So, that was a good scene, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
York, you got any plans and schemes working?
No, not unless I run into our post guards. Just
one of the set. Well,
one of the snake people.
In the lobby, in the suite of rooms that he has blocked out for himself and his entourage, which is on the 7th floor. And in the area around the glass ballroom, which is also on the 7th floor, you might find some of them on duty, lingering around, being security.
All right. Was it?
But they're not wandering around the hotel, except in the top floor and the bottom floor.
I'm going to. Lobby.
Okay.
And ask them to go.
As soon as the concierge sees you appear in the lobby, he pretends to need to go into the back room and has someone else come out and take his place.
Him, Jim, they do.
Attention must be paid.
Do I recognize any of them from? Our wonderful, fun basement time with the arachnid.
Well, basically all of them were in weird-looking outfits, so no. Mm-hmm. You recognize beefy guards in their normal... Okay. I mean, Mr. Miller is... the man who has identified you as Mr. Miller is one of his guards. He was the one that escorted you guys up the stairs from the basement that one time, along with Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Mr. Miller and Mr. Johnson are... two of his guards who escorted you up the stairs.
I'm seeing a spin-off series now.
I just realized where the names are coming from.
I got a buttload of names now for all of the people that I didn't have names for before. Mm-hmm. So most of the other dignitaries
here.
I caught
one of the other ones. Reading on the... Was it the...
So, yes, Mr. Miller and Mr. Johnson are here in the lobby.
Miller, you guys took away some people from the basement, dressed up in, you know, well, describe the arachnid Kabul, was it?
We did, sir?
Some of the guards.
Oh, those people that we took away from the basement, yes.
Yes, those people. Is there any chance I could talk to one of them, or was it, have they already, was it left the facilities?
Sir, I'm afraid that's not put... Just a moment. Very well. He leans forward. Mm-hmm. He paused for a second there, and he kind of looks weird. Mm-hmm. Like he's listening, but you don't hear anybody talking. Mm-hmm. And then he says, I'm sorry, sir. Actually, it would be possible for you to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Because Mr. Lord wants to have a meeting with you and your fellow centurions. If you can arrange that, then in exchange for meeting with Mr. Lord in precisely 1 hour in his suite, you would be then able to also have a discussion with the men who remain that were captured yesterday.
Okay. Thank you. Was it, was it
1 hour in room 701, sir.
All right, thank you. Was it, I'll walk up to the concierge.
The other
the assistant. And as nice as I could say, was it, I need you to ring room, 413, and tell the man there that he's needed in wherever they were having the brunch.
Oh, the six, the room six, whatever, underneath the green, the glass ballroom. Okay. Right.
And then I'm going to head up there hoping they're still there.
Which hopefully they will be. Right. But we'll see. Okay, so you get a call from him saying said. The concierge says, one of your companions has requested that you join them in the breakfast room in 607.
Very well. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I figured he may be still mad. He's on the side.
All right. So you two guys are eating breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some of the people who are here, actually, you know, most, the more I think about it, pretty much everybody that's here except for the staff is here on this weekend thing. And there's only like seven or eight couples worth of people. You know, and some professors and their assistants and some business persons and their wives or spouses or girlfriends or consorts. So, so you remember most of these people from having encountered them at the lunch when you arrived and in various other places. You have, eating brunch here at the table next to you are two sets of people. You have... Professor Perez from the High Moon Research Institute.
God.
And his assistant, Mr. Bowman. And then you have... I'm sorry, wait a second. That's right. And they are talking to another academic, Professor Thark, and his assistant, Mr. Menard. And so Professor Thark and his assistant, Mr. Menard, and Professor Bowman and Professor Perez from High Moon Research Institute. So they're having breakfast at the table next to you, just so you know. Mm-hmm, and they're, of course, openly talking about how curious they are at the impending unveiling this evening. And you might actually hear some of them also whispering... That's Stan Rocket over there. He's a big man in gadgetry. we should go and see if he'll give us an autograph. Autograph, smartograph. I'd like to pick his brain about the discombobulator. So are you guys? Other than that, are you? That's what's going on.
I'm panning the room for women.
Well, there's no women except for one of the servers is a woman. Two or three of these other servers are men.
I was hoping to pick the brain of a young, brainy woman.
Okay.
But, unfortunately, I cannot.
Well, do you want to... you could invoke one of your own aspects here. You could give me a fake change and
gender of someone.
No, well, not so much change the gender. Not so much change the gender. But no, I would certainly. This would be a great use of a fate chip for narrative control, where you can say, "I am such a ladies' man that my mere presence in this room draws women to this room." And somebody will show up.
It's like a bug light.
You want to do that?
Bug, that's our problem.
You give me a chip, and you got a woman walking into the room.
Him, I wouldn't interrupt it.
There you go.
He gives me the chip.
Oh, Brett, I gotta put that.
What if it's out?
that bug, I don't let him have.
One of the hotel staff happens to walk into the room, and she's a very cute young woman with blonde hair. Who comes in the door, looks around for a moment, she's holding on to an envelope in her hand, and she says, oh, and she walks right up to the two of you, and she says, Captain Shade, hi.
Hello, miss.
A message was left for you downstairs, and I've brought it to you.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, sir, and she hands you the envelope, and she says, "But," and she kind of nervously and coyly sort of pulls another piece of paper out of her pocket. And
pull
says,
out a pen.
I think I'll just go check my car. I'll be back.
Actually, Mr.
As you try to walk out of the room, he walks in.
Actually, Mr. Rocket, I think
you can't
perhaps
borrow
those
the
men over there would be willing to discuss scientific things with you, right? As I'm sure that we overheard a little bit of. Oh my God, that's
terrible. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you overheard that. So,
good afternoon.
So you're gonna go to talk to them. All right. So yeah, she.
So I take the paper and I have my pen. And what is your name?
Sally.
Sally. Okay. I write on there to my dearest friend Sally, from Captain Joey Shade, with a flourish on the shade.
The shade takes him a third of the page.
Excellent. So she smiles and says, "Well, thank you very much, sir. I'll cherish this always."
I'm sure you will.
I get off at 7.
I will remember that.
Just ask for Sally.
All right.
Goodbye, Captain.
Wow.
I do a little salute to her.
I've read all your books.
And you still can't borrow the car.
All right, so that's there. Now, Stan, you want to go over to talk to Perez and...
Bowman.
I'm sorry, Perez and Bowman? No, Bowman and Menard are just, you know, lab assistants. Professor Perez and Professor Thark are the real people. Mm-hmm. Not to say that those other guys are people. Yeah. But, you know, they're just the lab assistants.
They're not as much a people.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just some dorks.
So they're sitting there and they see you come over and Professor Thark stands up and says, "It's extremely an honor to have you here, sir."
Likewise, likewise.
Shake hands. And Professor Perez nods and says, "Yes, will you join us for a moment, sir?"
"Sure, briefly. I have to take care of some things, but I can stop for a second. What's going on?"
"Well, we were having a discussion about the theoretical ideas behind the discombobulation mechanic of the vernacular percolator."
And all that Joey is hearing is babble, babble.
That is babble, so, you know, good.
No, but I'm faintly hearing this babble, babble, babble.
We were babble, babble about the babble, babble.
Yeah. Of course, we were also wondering just what it is that you think Mr. Lord intends to unveil
babble,
to us
babble,
this
Mr.
evening.
Mr. Lord, babble, babble.
What if I can interrupt? I mean,
you can come in.
Was
let's give Stan a bit of a scene, yeah, though.
Well, as far as the first thing, though, you have to worry about the gene insulator and...
Ah, yes. The gene insulator, of course! The gene insulator, Perez! That's what we've been missing all this time!
Yes, here,
I'm sure the assistant's
napkin like, oh, here.
He pulls out a napkin and he starts to draw a diagram.
Schematic and...
It looks like a flux capacitor.
Perez and Tharc are just... That's incredible, of course! It's so simple!
Because all I'm gonna do is simply was to walk up and apologize and was to look at Stan Rock and we have a meeting with Seth Lord and whatever the time would be. It's gonna be a little less than an hour because
yes,
I had to go to get up there.
So 11:30.
Yeah, 11:30.
I'll be there.
All right, and I'll give him the room.
701.
701.
Pretty much just down the hall from where you are.
Okay.
Oh no, wait, upstairs and down the hall.
Okay. Was it did it look like he was paying attention, or
probably not?
Probably not. So
because I'm probably opening up the letter that was
yes,
that
he's gonna open up the letter here.
Was it? Was it?
So you'll report.
I'll walk
to
up to him. I'll tell him we have a meeting with.
Okay.
As to your other question,
yes.
He's really been playing this close to his chest, and I have to admit, I'm not really certain.
Interesting.
You guys, I mean, you of course know that I tried asking a little bit earlier to try to get some kind of hint, and...
Yes, well, but he certainly is playing it close to the vest, isn't he?
Yes. But, it should be interesting in any event.
Yes, it should. And then Menard, the assistant to Tharc, leans forward and says, Sir, I'm sorry to bother you. I was wondering... I've been studying a lot of... dimensional theory lately.
Yes.
And thinking about the first law of thermodynamics and how entropy affects the dissolution of the strings between the theoretical dimensions.
Blah, 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 blah.
You know, blah, 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 blah. He goes off.
Insert tech here.
String theory in the 20s.
No, he's like,
this guy's brilliant.
And he's like, the impression that I do want to leave you with
is that
he just said something that's 10 times more intelligent than either of those two schmucks that he works for.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Folding space? What?
He is. He's talking about stuff that you're like, heck, I didn't even think of that, but that makes good sense. So, Menard's got something going.
That's interesting.
But the two professors are like, oh, he's going off on that again.
Strings. Everything's strings, damn.
So I was wondering if perhaps... I know you're busy now. We've got the unveiling tonight and all of that could happen. But perhaps tomorrow morning, before we all check out, if you could just give me 15 minutes of your time to kind of have a discussion with me and unloosen some of the cobwebs in my head, I would be so honored and so appreciative.
Anything I can do to help?
All right, so thank you, sir. Oh, my name's Eric Menard. It's nice to...
Ah, nice.
They just shook hands?
They shook hands.
Yeah.
Sit down, Menard.
Narrating.
Perez says. So, meanwhile, Captain Joey Shade opens a handwritten note with a familiar
perfume
aroma. And it says... in simple handwriting, I know what he's got, and we can't let him keep it.
That's all it says.
That's all it says.
Very, very cryptic. It's very significant and yet totally useless.
Is Sally still in the room?
She can be, sure.
Huddling in a corner watching
you. Let's say she went over to talk to one of the waitstaff
like,
for
oh
a second,
God,
blah, blah, and she blah, blah, caught your eye again as she was passing out the door.
She showed him the note.
I
Showing somebody the autograph, yeah.
I flag her down.
Yes, Captain?
Yes, Shelley. I'm
sorry, it's Sally, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. Sally.
No! Okay.
Oh, man.
She's crushed. But she's going to try not to show it.
She going to give me a fate chip for that?
yeah, actually,
yeah,
I am.
She's
going
to try. Sally, I was wondering if you
But we could change my name to Shelley if you'd like.
That's quite all right, Sally.
You can change it anyway.
What I have to ask you is something far more important as I gaze deeply into her eyes.
Okay.
I was wondering if you happen to know where this letter came from.
What? No, sir. It was delivered to my superior, and he told me to find you and bring it up here. And he knew where you were, so perhaps it's you know.
If
Mr. Lamont, the concierge. Raymond Lamont. She's gonna slap me now. She's gonna slap because that was an accident.
Oh wow. That blew right by me.
Yes, it's good. Yeah. Well.
Okay. Well, you don't listen to podcasts.
No, I don't.
I'm up in the sanatorium.
Anyway.
Well then, I guess I'll just have to speak to the concierge, unless you're willing to find this out for me.
Of course, sir.
I'm sure that I'll make it worth your while.
Ting. Oh, wow.
As I wink.
I'll go ask him right now, sir, and I'll come back as soon as I'm able.
Thank you very much, Sally.
Off she goes. And she smiles, and off she goes. Okay.
I feel like giving you a favor. That was a beautiful
one. Yeah, nicely done. So, you, okay, wait. Nathan, we haven't been with you in a while. Are you coming to the breakfast place?
Yeah, he's probably still coming too in the room going,
what was that?
I'm still recovering. I'm going to finish my brunch.
Okay. But you got it. You got the message from the assistant concierge, right?
He's more dapper than dapper right now.
Okay. York? Are you just going to linger around until 11:30, or
was it
you got like 40 minutes to?
Was it at about 15 minutes after was
interrogate
it,
somebody?
Was it, no, was it, no, no, 15 minutes was it? If he doesn't come down, I'm gonna because I need him there.
Ah,
was it? I'll have to go up and was it tell him what's going on?
Okay,
was it? I want to give him time to was it come
Do
down?
Do you come down in 15 minutes?
They'll be right at 15 minutes.
Okay.
Right. He so comes just down, as I'm coming...
Just as you say, bah! You start to walk, and there he is.
Ah.
I think I'm tapping in with my cane.
So the two of you are out in the hallway now on the 7th floor. You two guys... Well, you're meeting on the 7th floor. I'm sorry.
The meeting is on the 7th
floor. Right.
But you guys are meeting outside... The breakfast room?
Right.
Oh, I see.
So I'm waiting in the breakfast room, hoping he'll come in, because I remember...
So you told him to... Yes,
I'm
you
sure
did.
That
you,
I know, see...
You're right.
So
you're
in
told
the breakfast room, or are you in the lobby next to the breakfast room?
I'm probably in the breakfast room, watching the door, waiting for him to come in, so I can tell him what's going on.
So I'm going to walk over to them.
So you walk over. Yeah. Okay, and Stan,
I'm
what
sure
do you do?
Stan's still talking technobabble.
Once that... conversation ends, I was intending to go check on my car, make sure that people haven't messed with it.
Oh.
All right.
Smart
you can do
man.
That.
I'm pretty sure your car can defend itself if needed.
If I want to add, with that.
But so are you going to tell... These two guys are over talking to each other now. So are you going to tell them before you go?
Since I'm probably passing right by there on my way through, sure.
Smart man, especially with what happened to my Zep.
Yes, indeed.
Nathan will actually return, or will
That's
show up before
it?
Stan
yes.
returns.
All right.
So Stan,
sense.
You go down.
Yeah.
To your now.
To blow up.
Originally, I had envisioned that all of these cars would be parked in the basement, but there's like an underground pseudo parking garage type thing. Mm-hmm. which is near the basement, and it is, as I said, underground, but it's not the same room that you guys just fought in overnight.
Okay.
But so you go down there.
Yeah.
Parking in the
20.
And
oh, okay.
So you want to inspect in detail the rocket
true.
Car?
Yeah.
They've apparently got cell phones.
Now, do you have one of those Batmobile type dealies where you can press a button and it has a metal casing that goes all
probably
around?
Probably not. No. I mean, there's sort of the thing so I can do the whole boat mode that I have for it.
But. You got one of those working back in the lab, though. You just haven't
had. Yeah, I just haven't had time to actually add it to the actual prototype model yet.
Oh, the Prowler. But, yeah, you wouldn't be interested in
well,
that.
Well, I've got one. Well, it does have the armor aspect on it, and it does. Well, there was I had a piece of paper with
this.
Yeah, it's in here somewhere. Do you want it?
Yeah. Well, we don't need it as such right now, but I think there is one per one definable thing per episode.
Yeah, there is.
It could have that, but we'll see. I just want to make sure that it hasn't been monkeyed around with.
Right.
Monkey wrenched.
Yeah.
There you go. Is it on there?
No one's thrown a monkey wrench into it.
Well, funny that you should mention that. I won't even make you roll. I mean, you go ahead and roll.
Roll, but you go ahead and
because he wanted to.
One, so that
would be one over six superb.
So that's a six.
Ouch.
Well, you do an extremely detailed overview of the car, and one of the first things that you find is a little miniature monkey wrench sitting on the driver's seat with a note attached to it. You don't think that I would actually be that predictable.
Aww.
Thank you. Predictable. You don't think I'd actually be that predictable.
Yes, he would.
And you proceed then to do an extremely thorough search of the car. And you find nothing that trips your trigger. Everything seems to be completely in order.
Do you throw those monkey wrenches away, or do you have like a collection of 50 or 60 monkey wrenches?
The like note over my shoulder, throw the monkey wrench in the like glove box.
Okay.
Monkey wrench explodes in 5 seconds. And
pretty soon he's going to be able to wear like a tribal necklace around his neck with like 9 or 10 monkey wrenches.
No,
he'll
have wrench armor.
Chain. Wrench armor.
Wrench armor. Yeah.
Wrench mail.
Wrench mail.
Maybe monkey wrench will go broke making those things.
So, then what? Let's get Stan back. Are you going to go back?
I probably want to see.
In the time that takes
extra wire in there?
Sure.
Like, if I wanted to break up this bomb and do some separate things, I can. Okay, I'm going to grab some wire and take it back with me.
Okay.
In the time that it takes him to search the car, does Sally come back?
Yeah, probably. He's got to go pretty far, so yes. So she says, sir, Mr. Lamont says that he believes that the note was left by the young woman who is the newspaper reporter from Wales or Scotland. Is that it?
I do believe it's Ireland.
Oh, as you say then, sir. Whatever.
Any other information?
Well, that was the information that you asked me to obtain for you, sir. Would you like... Well, it would be useless to give you my tele number since...
No, that's okay, Sally. You've done a great job.
She is, by the way, an American.
I'm sure she is.
I'm just saying. Because it matters. Well, we're in Switzerland.
With a name like Sally. I was wondering that myself.
Hello, my name is Sally.
No, I know that you're Sally from Britain.
Sally from the valley.
So where exactly are you from, Sally? As you're obviously not from around here.
Oh, well, I grew up in Los Angeles. Well, Malibu.
Quite,
and then sunny. I spent a few years in Las Vegas. And then I decided, well, I followed my college sweetheart here on a hiking trip. And unfortunately, he fell off the side of the mountain and I was left stranded. So I had to throw myself on the mercy of the local townsfolk. And they got me a job here. and now I work here at the resort, and
of course, Sally.
All of it was worth it, you see, because this gave me the chance to meet my idol, Captain Joey Shade.
And because you have been so helpful for me, Sally, I'm going to guarantee that you soon will get on a plane back to the States.
Really?
I guarantee it.
Oh, she just kind of, she just gives you this, you know, little blonde girl bear hug. She just kind of jumps.
A little,
and she jumps, she just practically jumps right into
she
your arms.
She bumps me.
And she kicks, you know, she kicks one leg back and just kind of hugs you and I swings just back and forth.
Back.
Oh, Captain, Captain, that's such a wonderful, thank you, thank you so much.
Yes. Now, run along, I'm sure that they're...
It's
need you
right
to do
that I'm walking in.
Okay. Yeah, you see that. You're like, and they're worried about me and Anna?
And you just you probably see me just patting her back, sort of rolling my eyes.
I just kind of stop and give the two of them a look for a second. Right.
So then she kind of like eventually releases herself from you, and she's practically crying with joy. And I'm going to go back to work now, but if you need me for anything, you just find me.
I will.
All right. Boy, I just totally made that up. You, see, that's the power.
Hell yeah.
You just created a new NPC that may factor into something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do that.
Yeah, well, and this is a game that allows the players to do that and encourages it, and it's pretty darn cool. Okay. All right, so... Nathan walks in just as she's releasing herself.
So the attendant didn't give you just a stiff nod.
And you can walk in anytime you want to.
Mr. Shade? Mm-hmm. Making friends with the locals, are we?
Actually, she's not quite local. She's actually an American. Helped me find out who this message was from.
He actually left me a note.
Utterly cryptic.
What?
Monkey wrench, he left me a note saying, do you really think I would be that predictable?
Oh, I have a note of my own.
Oh, really?
Oh,
is
yes.
Is it from Monkey Wrench?
No, not quite. it doesn't smell like motor oil.
It appears to be just about as useful.
Well, his would probably smell more like gunpowder, but whatever.
Whatever. But apparently Miss Caitlin is still in the vicinity.
Nice to know.
Just merely warns us that she knows what he has and to stop him.
I know what he has, and we can't let him keep it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. Speaking of him, we have a meeting with him in room 701 in, was it?
5 minutes.
In 5 minutes.
Well, I guess we can get up. How fashionably convenient.
Yeah, so that's why I needed you to come down.
How soon is this between the meeting and the actual...
unveiling?
Yeah, unveiling.
Dinner is at 6, unveiling to follow.
No, but what time is it now?
It's about
11:30 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So 6.5 hours.
So I still have on my jacket.
Sure.
We'll have plenty of time to escape this huge, slow-moving death trap.
All right.
Good. I think you'd have, during the unveiling, have your flight jacket anyway.
All right, so you get on the elevator.
You take
and
a shower. You get your flight jacket.
It works. And you go up to the 7th floor.
We check it out first.
No problem on the elevator.
I'm taking the stairs.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're taking the stairs. Yeah, it's on the 6th floor. It's only one floor.
Okay, so
take
you take the stairs and get up to the 7th floor and head to the suite of rooms that begins with room 701.
I'm sure there's guards pointing in the direction.
Yes, actually there are. Mr. Miller and Mr. Johnson, Mr. Kala, and a few others are standing out there just, you know, being beefy. And having vaguely snake-like faces.
That's one of their aspects, beefy.
Yes.
Most of them do have the beefy aspect, yes.
Like ravioli.
Yeah, beefy like ravioli. Yeah, boy, let me think. Okay, so, room 701, it turns out, is actually a conference room that's attached to the suite of other, you know, rooms. So, Mr. Miller gestures that you go into the conference room, and there's this big oblong table in there with chairs and such. Do you all go in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We check for traps.
Get out my 10-foot pole.
There was an evil little laugh there.
Yes, there is one.
Down the hallway.
Check for traps. Yes, this is one. That's sorry.
Down this. That's fine. No, yeah.
You find one. This whole ski lodge is a trap.
Yeah. Miller and Johnson come into the room with you and shut the door behind them, and then Johnson walks over and opens this other door and says, you know, in some sort of a sarcastic way, probably, "Sir, they're here. You can, you know." So he comes out. Now, here comes Seth Lord back in his suit again, and not in his odd cultic costuming that he that you saw him in the middle of the night. So
it's cobra pajamas.
Cobra pajamas. Oh boy. So he walks in.
He's in
and he's holding on a big giant like manila folder looking thing. And he brings it in and he says, "I've been thinking a lot overnight, gentlemen. So I wanted to meet with you. Please, sit down. Drink orders, anyone? I know it's before noon, technically, but why should we stand on that kind of propriety?"
"I'll have a whiskey. On the rocks."
"All right.
Just a bit of brandy, if you don't mind."
"All right.
Nothing but thank you."
Whiskey sounds good.
"Mr. Johnson, will you take care of that, please?" So, he goes off, and they'll bring it to you in a minute. So he says, "Well, I wanted to say that I perhaps did not thank you enough last night for the impeccable job that you did in protecting my fake artifact." And yes, there might be a touch of sarcasm in that. Is anybody trying to do anything in terms of, I don't know, reading or one-upping him or overshining him or any? Are any of you guys using any of your aspects
not yet,
while he's talking? Okay, so that
I can just use enough trouble last time. With that.
Yeah. With that, it's like, haha, yeah, that's funny. Was it?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, thank you for the little hors d'oeuvre to get to the meat. And all
right, so he makes some of this inane small talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't reveal anything about anything useful or important. Just kind of, I was thinking about you all night, and you were so helpful. And I thought to myself how fortunate we are to have such a capable group of centurions here. And now that it's obviously proven that we have nefarious schemes and plots being perpetrated right under our very noses here this weekend, I have a proposal that I would like to offer the four of you in regards to providing me with some extra security for this evening's unveiling of the true item of interest that I'm going to be showing off. And I think that you will enjoy not only the proposal itself and the challenge that it provides, but also what I offer to you and to the Century Club in return. But more on that later. Ah, here are the drinks. Johnson brings in four drinks because Thompson didn't want one, and Lord's got himself a big steaming cup of some concoction that smells funny and
snake
you don't
brew.
And so two whiskeys and a brandy are passed around. Mr. York, are you sure you don't want anything? It seems odd to leave you out like this.
I am sure.
An Englishman without a drink. What's an odd sight that is. Very well then.
I look at Stan and see if he's sniffing the glass, checking it.
Gentlemen, I assure you, I would not try something so petty and ridiculous as to...
I'm appreciating the nose of the brandy.
All right, fine.
I'm thinking that's the... And I'm not saying, but I'm thinking that's the second time I've heard that today.
The nose of the brandy?
surely I wouldn't be so obvious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, interesting.
You didn't hear his earlier
but
conversation.
Hopefully this is a good sipping whiskey, so I can just have a little bit and kind of nurse it.
It is, actually, an extremely good sipping whiskey. But before we discuss that matter, there is something I think that we should discuss, which perhaps might affect all of our decisions in regard to the offer that I hinted at a moment ago. And he takes the big manila folder and he thunks it down on the table in the midst of all of you. I'm wondering how well you know the young lady who attended lunch yesterday that we invited as a representative of the European media. Miss McBride, I believe her name was.
Yes, Caitlin McBride, I believe.
Yes. She was she not, in the elevator with you when the unfortunate incident occurred?
Yes.
So, how well do any of you know her? Are you flipping open the thing?
Yeah, kind of.
Alright. It's got, like, quality of photographs back then is, it's got a black and white picture of her on the front, and there's just like reams of information. What are you gonna do?
I'm just thumbing through it.
Okay. What you're seeing first on top is a picture of her, and then there's a bunch of documents, and then there's some scrawled notes, and then there are other pictures of. Well, as you're thumbing through them, you can tell that, well, that one's of a dead body, but you don't know any details. And this one is several dead bodies, and this one is an exploded building. And, then there's some other scrawls of things. And you see the word Fenian and the word Republicans peppered through some of the documentation and things like that. So, and as you're flipping through that, he has no problem with that, and he just continues to. So, any of you know her well?
No, I don't think any of us have met her before this weekend, sir.
Well, I hope that's true. So she's not in any way affiliated with the Centurions.
Not in any way we know of.
To the best of my knowledge.
Well, I'm quite glad to hear that. I mean, my regard for the Centurions would have had to be considerably lowered if it were the case that she was affiliated in any way.
Has the young miss gotten herself in a spot of trouble? I haven't said anything British in a while.
What's it?
Deep throaty laugh from Seth. Go ahead, sorry.
Say when he's unfitting, I'll want to look at it. Just
of course.
Okay.
I'm surprised you didn't go.
So you actually pick it up and just start looking through it in detail. Okay, and
reading it like a book.
Reading it like a book. Taking all of it down.
There's always too much to
So he's already on the third page.
Just did you get a chance to do any of the stuff that I hinted that you might want to do in the email?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, that being the case, then, you have probably got some information about the general gist of where the documents are going.
Yeah.
So York leans back, and to whatever extent you would want to be, I don't know if you want to close yourself off to your responses or whether you'd be open with your responses, but how are you reacting to the information you're seeing? Because basically it's pictures of... And this is up to you, but some of these guys might be your friends. Some of these were people that you probably knew.
Was that... It will be... What's that?
And I'll tell you what some of the guys is, but I want to...
Mix of... Was it disappointment and was it... as if you've just been let down by somebody.
Really? And are you allowing those emotions to show to your companions?
It might be called my empathy checks.
Was it?
See if anyone picks
sure,
up.
Sure, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, yeah, of course. Sure. I always forget. Sometimes when we just role play, I forget that we could be doing... We could be doing
mechanics.
You're
actually rolling.
One. I got a one.
I got a one.
Well, then you're probably not picking much off of York. Right. He's like, yeah. He's ice.
Given earlier, I said I'd left Ireland for this. Was it? Yeah.
Oh, so you've set yourself. We're gonna have to talk about that then.
To Anna going? Was it? You know, the reason I'm so serious is I left Ireland for this. That's something serious. Now I'm gonna make this something serious.
Ah, wow.
Was it? Yeah. It's probably nodding his head a lot, going, geez. Was it?
So basically, to kill the weird, non-suspenseful suspense, he's looking at this document and he's not really reacting to it based on anything. But so Seth is continuing on and he says, "Well, first of all, we can be reasonably certain that her name is not Caitlin McBride. She goes by several aliases." As a matter of fact, from what I understand, she even has some sort of a strange costumed persona, and she calls herself Kildare, and goes around perpetrating some very heinous crimes, if you ask me. As of course you know, she didn't hide the fact that she is an Irish patriot. Well, if there is such a thing as an Irish patriot. She is staunchly, and she is a staunch Republican. And as you probably are all aware, being of some of the keenest minds and intellects of our time, Ireland has recently won its independence from the state of Britain after 600 years, although not quite as much independence as some of the factions in Ireland would have liked, considering that Ireland remains a dominion of the British Crown in a way similar to Canada and Australia, and until recently, Egypt, my home country, which was also recently liberated, but under far less grueling circumstances. In any case, gentlemen, Ms. McBride, also known as Miss Catherine Kiernan, also known as Red Kate, also known as several other aliases that
was
I've...
It just, cause she's married, was it, to Michael?
She's not married. They're engaged.
All right. Was it... But that's probably was from either there or from something I would already know.
She is, in fact, engaged to Michael Collins, yes.
Was it...
Michael Collins is a big wig in the Irish. He was.
I've seen the movie.
Was it? Tito was it? To tell him to join, and she's engaged. I'm afraid.
I'm sorry, Captain Shade. Were you in some romantic involvement with the lady?
I'm sure you're thinking about it.
Oh,
I always think
shut
about
up,
it.
York!
No, I'm just sort of going, how is that different from anyone else?
Okay.
And I'm right. Quite surprised, though, Mr. Lord, that you would invite such a person to this event if you knew all of this.
Well, I didn't. I compiled this information last night.
You have it readily on hand.
Photographs and all.
That's what he says. He said he compiled all this information last night after she suspiciously disappeared.
All right,
I wouldn't be one to talk about going around in costumes.
Oh, ouch!
When he says he compiled it last night,
you rattle him a little.
Was it? I've almost got to call Skeptic's ear because that.
Okay.
All I really want to know is, is he using the...
He put it all in the folder last night.
What you need to do then is roll empathy and use Skeptic's ear, and you automatically know whether or not he's deceiving.
Well, cool. I know that if he's using deceit, whether I can... anything.
You know whether he's using deceit regardless.
Right.
But you could still successfully know what he's lying about if you roll well enough.
Was that six?
Holy crap.
He's empathetic.
Oh.
He was too shaken by my comment.
He's probably not even trying to lie.
I basically called him a costume freak.
He is... Yes! He's using deceit, but not much.
He's not flat out lying so much as he's not being
The part
he's not lying, he's
the,
just
the part
not
about
saying
okay, let's be more specific. I'm just gonna go ahead and be more specific, right, whether I should or not. I don't care. I'm just gonna go with my gut. The part about him compiling all this information last night, yeah, after his suspicions were raised,
right,
that's true, as far as you can tell. The part about him having no idea whatsoever, yeah, that she was a suspicious character when he invited her, yeah, that's probably not quite, okay, true. But then again, he invited you guys too.
Yeah.
So anyway, so basically he's sitting here saying, well, what you have here, gentlemen, is a terrorist, a murderer, a person who has done years' worth of work butchering and murdering officials of the British government, British agents.
And you invited her to this event.
It seems to be...
I invited a reporter from the Dublin Inquisitor to this event.
It seems to be the cause celeb. We have, you know, Monkey Wrench has shown up. We have his nemesis and the arachnid.
Well, as far as we know, though, Monkey Wrench wasn't on the invitation list.
But they seem
excuse
to
me,
here.
Who are you talking about?
Was it the guy who was it apparently was it set the bomb? Was it
the elevator bomb?
No, the one in your...
Well, that frame, too.
Probably that too. Well, but was it...
yes, probably.
The one in your... Was it...
there
thing,
was a bomb in my fake thing. Idol?
Yes, there was a bomb in your fake
idol. I showed
idol.
It to him last
time. Oh, you did?
Yeah. That's right.
By the way, whatever became of that?
What, this? No. It counts down 5, 4, and
all. Oh, it's put away.
Stan lets me play with it. No.
Because of your reputation, sir, I suppose I should allow for you to keep your toys. Certainly hope you don't intend to allow it to detonate. At least not any time in the next 12 or 14 hours.
Hopefully not.
He gives you a look. Wow. Okay.
That depends entirely on the stability of the nitroglycerin and, you know, all that. It's not crystallizing, so I think we'll be fine, but it's...
I'm just looking at Nathan like...
Explosives are not my forte, but so I will trust that you know what you're doing.
Evil magic, yeah, that's my forte.
Snake costumes.
Oh, yes.
So, do any of you have... I mean, I think there are, like... Aren't there stunts or something that allow you to know that someone's trying to read you? Did any of you take any of those?
No, there's skills like resolve, but...
Well, I know, but...
No,
well, okay,
I
everybody
don't.
Make a resolve roll.
Okay. Oh, son of a... No, I want to re-roll it.
I think we're all going to re-roll.
I'm basically...
That's so much better.
The aspect
okay.
I'm a ghost, by the way, is
three.
Dandy.
And,
British Dandy. You pull that one a lot.
He likes that one.
Yeah, it works for you.
It's a wash.
Let me
three.
See. I've got a two and...
Now...
Hold on, let me see.
I'm sorry.
I got a three.
Okay.
I got a three.
I figure...
All negatives and then all blanks.
I got three negatives and a blank, and then I got an even. So, yeah.
That's an even.
It was worth it.
Oh, yeah. The thing that with my ex-military bearing, I can get a little bit of some kind of...
I'm going to go for... Yeah, I'll accept. Yeah. I'll accept
with
that.
Me,
I'm
kind of harder exterior than yeah.
okay.
harder...
Okay, sure.
With me, I'm
which would
say
give me... See, one, two, four.
Four. And threes?
Three.
Yeah.
Okay, basically all of you were certainly his attempts to glean information from you are not being very fruitful. So basically all of you in your own special way are keeping your own reactions to all of this close to the vest.
Or close to the cape in his case.
So none of you are like letting your jaw drop to the floor at the recognition of what you see in this dossier.
I probably should just look through it too at this point.
Sure.
Well, heck, I've romanced several spy women before.
And I'm from
Boston.
I gotta
say, even
I only know the
recruiters and
the Irish mob in Boston.
You two, York and Nathan, honestly, even if you both personally believe your characters are extremely advanced British thinkers and, whatever it is that you... this is still someone who's killing Englishmen.
It strikes right at the heart of our patriotism.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
whether or not Nathan personally agrees that the British should have been occupying Ireland all this time and that there were whatever.
The fact that the British were there proves that they should have been. Britch of the
core. If that's the case, then this is really then this is an extreme affront to half of your aspects.
Yeah, just like that.
I don't know the details of what you've decided about your past. But
was it? Right now, he doesn't know what he's. He's got she's involved in the killed people he knows.
Right.
Probably police contacts. He's probably interrogated members of the IRA.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's going to do.
Right.
But this way, I still know what he's going to do, and I had pre-warning. I haven't figured that out.
Okay, so that's fine. And I don't want to go into too much detail about this, because frankly, it's just kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually have any direct bearing on what happens later on with the unveiling. It's just, possible adventure hooks for the future, and it has to do with certain... But nevertheless, really quickly, in terms of the real world history, we're at a point in 1922... where a treaty has just recently been signed and ratified. Mm-hmm. Michael Collins and, I forget the other guy's name, signed the treaty. Eamon de Valera is the guy. They've all been fighting this war of independence together. They're friends. Mm-hmm. They're together. They're pals. The IRA, 15,000 other names for, the Republicans, whatever, Fenians. And then they signed this treaty with Britain to end the War of Independence. Britain says, okay, you have a free state now. Go ahead, fine. But you're still our dominion, and you still have to let us have your ports for our navy. And you still have to speak an oath of allegiance to the king, just like they do in Canada and Australia. So, fine. But other than that, set up your own parliament, set up your own government, you're free. They go back to Ireland. Half the people in the Irish parliament are like, good! This is a great first step. It's not everything we wanted, but it's a good compromise, and maybe we can get there. The other half of them are like, no bloody way. We're not accepting anything that says we still are part of Great Britain. It's all or nothing. So they start a war with each other. So now, at this very moment, while we sit in this hotel atop this mountain in Switzerland, Ireland is going through a civil war where the people who worked together for the past several years to win independence are now killing each other, because half of them think this is a good first step and the other half are like, no. So the IRA is in fact split into two factions. Michael Collins is the lead, the actual leader of the pro-treaty faction, because he was the one who brought the treaty back, and all of his former friends, including Edmund de Valera, are against it, and there's just a bitter, bloody nastiness going on. Now, as far as how that works in this pulp reality that we're playing in, it's all happening historically, just writ large on a larger scale, where you actually probably have some of these people involved are like, centurion level people of special abilities and things like that. So if you can imagine that, and all of that in the wake of World War I too. So anyway, that being the case, this is a mess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's directly involved in it. According to this dossier, whoever this woman is, she is working for Michael Collins and killing lots of British people.
I want to make a roll.
Okay, make a roll.
I'm guessing this would be academics. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm looking through there, and I've got a couple aspects I can invoke if necessary. And
okay.
I'm basically trying to figure out from what I know if this is legit or if this is basically something that's been prepared to make it look like...
Oh, so you're going to actually try to get a detailed read on the dossier
like based
itself.
On what I know, I'm sure I've heard of some of these incidents from other sources and see if, like... If it was attributed to someone else, or if it was people unknown, whereas here
okay.
It specifically says it was
I get
her,
what you're saying,
and so on.
Cross referencing what you believe you
exactly.
know with the information that you're getting, and see how it checks out. Yeah, that makes good sense.
And that gives me a 3, and I can invoke one or two aspects if.
Go ahead.
If that would help.
Tell me what.
I'm going to start with mystic, Urfer legends. Basically, I've heard.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Legends and stories about pretty much anywhere at some point.
Okay.
So that gives me a 5.
Uh huh. This thing, most of the incidents that you can just casually look, mm-hmm. you know, within the few minutes that we've got to have this conversation, most of the information in there, you probably have heard of a lot of these incidents. And in most cases, specific people involved on the Irish side, mm-hmm. you know, who killed this British agent or who, you know, assassinated this group of people or who blew up this building or what have you. Most of it is attributed in general to the IRA or to Michael Collins or mm-hmm. to a group called the 12 Apostles, which is known to be his... special 12 guys who go around killing British people. And it's actually accusing her of being one of them.
Okay.
Now, that's not even slightly historical in the real world, by the way. But in this world, okay. This document is attempting to prove that whatever her real name is, Caitlin McBride, is one of the 12 apostles.
So essentially this is referring to real incidents and stuff I recognize. What I'm getting at is, are the references to her legitimate as far as I can tell? Or are they basically saying, well, this...
If she is a member of the 12 apostles, then everything in this dossier makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
Proving that she's a member of the 12 apostles is the crux issue, and there isn't anything in there that proves it.
So there's like no specific... we saw her fleeing the building shortly before it exploded or anything like
actually,
that.
Actually, you are correct.
Okay.
So in other words...
It could well be her, but it also could be an elaborate hoax designed to make us think it's her.
Right. The information is accurate, but it doesn't directly tie her into it.
Actually,
that's what I was going
I will for. Rephrase. There are some grainy photographs of a person who might be wearing the Kildare costume in some of these.
Okay.
And there are eyewitness reports of a woman in the Kildare costume fleeing the scene of this or that.
Okay.
But that's it.
All I know is that we may or may not need to have a talk. I'm excited that yet.
Okay.
I know.
And I think that this would be a good time to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and start again. Okay.
Adventure, the Roll Monkeys. Excitement, the Roll Monkeys. Live RPG sessions as they happen, the Roll Monkeys. Set your course for intrigue and action. Larger-than-life characters defeat danger and laugh at peril. Go to www.harpingmonkey.com and find out what happens next.
All right, so what can we do in 40 minutes, gentlemen?
We said, well, let's find out what the puzzle is.
Well, he wants us to help out...
Security. Yes. He's got BP Serpent Men. What does he need us for?
I know.
Well, wait a minute.
You guys are centurions, for heaven's sake.
Are we still in the room? Or?
Yeah. You're still in the room. Nothing's... I mean, he's basically saying...
We're back from our commercial break.
So, yeah. Since I've been fairly well convinced that you did not know that this woman was a terrorist and that you no longer have any association with her and are certainly not her ally, and if I can reasonably conclude that about you, then I would like to hire you to provide security from the likes of her, from the likes of people like Archibald Prester, who may, because he hasn't been caught and actually managed to allow... And he looks over at the two guards, and Miller and Johnson, and says, as in fact we lost a couple of our prisoners earlier this morning... It is perfectly possible that the nefarious arch-rival that is Archibald Prester will try to strike again this evening.
It is not only possible, it is almost to be expected.
Therefore, I need the best of the best. And since you're going to be there anyway, showing interest in what it is that I have to show... I wanted to propose to you that you make a pledge to protect me and the artifact from anyone who may try to take it this evening. I want to make it the job of the four of you who have thus far done me good service in exchange for the kindness that I showed to you in the elevator shaft yesterday morning, to ensure beyond all reasonable doubt that I am able to walk out of this resort with the artifact and continue my research with it. Research which I am hoping desperately I will have your assistance in completing once you realize the potential that we have before us. What say you, gentlemen? Let's be honest with one another, because I can see the hesitation in your faces. You believe me to be some sort of a nefarious criminal mastermind. Perhaps I am a mastermind. Perhaps I do have a grand plan. Perhaps I have a group of men and women who are devoted to me and our cause. Perhaps I am a practitioner of certain religious ability. No. See, I had it going for a while. Perhaps I am a practitioner. Perhaps I have certain abilities, as do all of you, beyond normal mere mortals. But my aims are your aims. The betterment of humanity.
My
progress.
Is going on. Oh my god.
No.
Oh, I said, was that,
although I don't have empathy, but you put that on there.
Was
so.
The,
I don't remember what you wrote as the original aspect, but I thought that's what you were going for. You can always tell when somebody's feeding you a line.
Sure, why not?
Okay. For what it's worth. He seems to believe every word he says.
My bet would be he believes every word. No, and the road to hell is paved in good intentions. And that's, you know, what's
that? But the fact that he thinks that he's along the same path as we are as far as doing
he,
good.
He believes that.
What's that?
Mr. Lord, it would not only be an honor, but my duty to remain at this lodge and stop anyone who attempts to bring terror and destruction.
Unless it's Archibald Prester, in which case I might have to let him.
Oh, good. That was a compliment.
Why in the world would you think that?
Unless it's
how could
no.
that thought have
especially
possibly,
if it's Archibald Prester.
How could that thought have popped into your head like that? What in the world is going on with you, man? No, okay.
I will answer. I will use
that. Happened, of course, without anyone else's knowledge.
This is my beloved friend Archibald.
Said,
in this case, we will join forces and rule the world.
Kings
simply. And we'll see if this requires a what's it?
York, go for it.
What's it? It's like, I will do what I can.
He-Man. You put them together.
Well, that's all I can ask, I suppose. Actually, that? I could ask a lot more than that, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, was it? He's not gonna. He has his oath to Britain too, as a member of intelligence. What he has to do, he can't. Those contradicts. He's going to.
I am not an enemy of the British Crown. My father is a loyalist, and I remain so myself. This woman is an enemy of the British Crown.
Hey, that's me.
And must be prevented. from absconding with the artifact. Because there's no telling what she would be able to do with it, as you will discover this evening when I show you just a smidgen of what it is capable of.
Mr. If you're right, I'm agreeing that.
Okay.
We admire your patriotism and your honesty and your devotion. And as I am sure that you...
And your passion sense.
Come on. As I'm sure you admire our devotion as well. We will attend this event, and if there is any wrongdoing, I'm sure that we will react appropriately. But to say that we will be in your service, we cannot.
All I am asking is that you do two things. Prevent
your submission and your obedience to my will.
Essentially, and he basically clarified, I'm asking for two things. One, prevent anyone else from taking the artifact during the unveiling this evening. Two, do not yourselves attempt to take the artifact this evening during the unveiling or at any other time. Give me your pledge that you will do your best to do those two things. And I, in return, will ensure that the Century Club has 100% access to every bit of research, information, and background on the artifact and all of the related artifacts that we may yet need to obtain in order to complete the project.
A question.
I would rather have you friends than enemies, and I mean that of the four of you, and I also mean it of the Century Club. I want to share this with the world. That's why I'm unveiling it rather than keeping it
a
secret.
It takes it over.
Yes, a question, Mr. Appleby? Sir Appleby?
Yes. I apologize if this gives offense, but I take my oath seriously, and I must know exactly what I am pledging myself to. Will you, in turn, give me your pledge that this artifact you speak of will not cause harm to any of us or anyone here?
Hesitation. I pledge. No, he doesn't hesitate. I'm trying to word. How would he word this? Without any hesitation on his part, he pledges that yes, the artifact and it, the artifact and the unveiling of said artifact will not harm any of you, and is not intended, nor will it harm any of you, nor anyone here.
It's almost guaranteed. I have to say, use the stunt skeptics here. I'm that.
Okay.
And I will said. To make it a six.
His sincerity is absolute in the statement that he just made.
Okay.
Oh, crap. Just never mind.
Never mind.
This is a pretty big.
Wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just realized.
He didn't say never mind. I am not saying. I'm not saying never mind. He doesn't make the pledge.
Right.
I'm saying never mind. It's too late now. The pledge is made.
Right.
So I'll have to jockey things around a little, maybe.
What's that? Well, then the other is. The question is, when he said that, was he using deceit?
No. None whatsoever. Two moves ahead would indicate to you that whatever he's got in mind, it's more far-reaching. Mm-hmm. than he's not going to blow the top off the hotel or try to kill anybody. So he's out there. This is merely a step in whatever he's got going.
He's got two moves ahead also.
And he's out there somewhere.
He's got a whole... It's a big... It's a
two chapters ahead.
Yeah, probably. All right. I just need...
So did you get what you needed out of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's it?
Okay. Guys, anybody else?
No.
Sir, I think you would be willing to grant us an opportunity to speak alone about this matter. Come up with a decision.
All right. Well, I have some other meetings and things to attend in preparation for this evening, so I'm going to take leave of you now.
Well,
discuss this, and perhaps you could give a message to one of my guards and have them deliver it to me with your answer.
Since you're losing prisoners, may I speak to one before? Was it,
he brought it up. He was losing.
Yes,
that's
he did.
True.
And I brought up that I wanted to speak to him before in front of the meeting, so this is nothing as far as my character's going to...
Oh, that's right. I would just take a couple of moments. Mr. Johnson, please bring in... So Johnson goes into the other room. He's gone for a little while, and then he brings in...
Grunt.
Unnamed grunt.
Right.
Practically tosses him Gritty. On the table.
It's Gritty.
Hi. I'm a spider.
Well, what's that?
So there's an arachnid laying on the... a person in an arachnid uniform, bruised up face, the mask is off, the rest of the uniform is still on.
Okay.
He's bound.
So the spider threw the snake threw the spider onto the table.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What's that? Kind of looking. We probably don't want to talk in front of us.
We have the scarlet potato.
Well, except that he's not leaving.
I'm saying we're probably going to move away. It's like we'll talk to you in just a few minutes. As we kind of probably take it to a corner to discuss what we're going to do. I don't think we're going to be talking in front of the wizard.
Oh, we're not going to be talking about it.
Well, the point is
yet.
That his intention is that you will ask your questions in front of Seth Lord right here in this room.
Right.
Now you can. Try to get out from around that, but that's what he's going to do unless you try to resist it.
All right. Well, if that's going to be let's pull this out. Was it see if you guys attention? Kind of look down at him. Any chance you know where your boss is hiding?
He needs not to hide.
He's hiding.
He is here in this hotel. Out in the open.
So it's a he.
Well, we know it's a he. You know where it is.
Do we?
Will you let me do this?
Need I remind you there is a dossier right here that implements a she.
I've compiled a composite
as a member of the IRA. We are dealing with the arachnid.
No, it looks like Johnson York, and you're like, that!
Was it?
Because you're a little affected.
I'll
put a monocle on him. There you go.
So you're questioning the arachnid.
Yeah.
He says he's right here in the hotel. He has no reason to hide.
Well, he seemed to run away from you guys when things went badly. Was it earlier? He had no problem fleeing from you guys as you guys got caught.
Quite cowardly for a fearless leader.
I'm just remembering what the mean fleas were. What's that?
See how he's like. Okay. Well, he's like, I believe he's here. I can feel him. I know he wouldn't turn his back on us.
This time.
Take him, let him see his face. You've been abandoned, alright?
So you actually like pick him up prop him from the mirror and think,
look at the bruises. You've been abandoned. He's not coming for you. He's not going to save you.
After all, this is an interrogation.
Well, the dude's a minion. I think he's got one box in his peeing jar. You don't even have to roll.
No. Your best bet is to cooperate. He's going to be me, because he's self-centered time now.
Tell us what you know. Because the
all
members keep disappearing.
I don't have anything to tell. He just starts spouting off some big propaganda speech about hatred of the Order of the Cobra and
the Order of the Cobra. As I look to Sir Nathan Appleby,
the Cobra's got to, you know, the Cobra's got to be stopped. The spider must kill the snake. Blah 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 blah. This.
The Order of the Cobra, you say? I start rolling my mysteries. All right.
You're all proud of being members of the Directed Kabul.
Of course.
Your web of cherries.
Quietly ask him, this one I do need to keep away from, basically ask him if Anna Romanoff is a member of the Spider Kabul.
What?
Anna Romani is a member of the Spider Kabul.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I have the skeptic ear.
Okay.
Five.
He doesn't know what you're talking about.
Alright. Your boss even had a plan when you guys failed. Jeez, that's sad.
Is there anything else you're gonna try to get out of this guy?
No.
Because he's played out. You can kind of tell. All
right.
He truly and honestly is such a minion that he doesn't have the slightest idea. He's told what to do and he does it.
Yeah,
it's like a Spider Cabal member in training.
He was a pawn tossed at you guys last night to test out the defenses.
We got a membership card. Right,
Spider Cabal.
This certifies that.
If you think of anything else, it might help prevent more bruises.
While he's interrogating him, I'm just turning to Nathan and go, so what do you know about this Order of the Snake?
Seth Lord respond to that?
He chuckles.
Yeah.
Because
I'm blatantly asking Nathan in front of Seth Lord about the Order of the Cobra.
Right, okay.
Right, and I'll take him, put it... I'll give him back to the guard. I found what I need to know.
Okay. So Johnson takes the guy away, and so then you're left there. So you guys are talking about the Order of the Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
I got a 5 on my mysteries to see if I've heard or know anything about the Order of the Cobra.
You have.
Egyptian?
Yes.
Gasp. Shock.
A cabal surprise of Egyptian free thinkers and religious folks.
A cobra cabal?
A cobra cabal. Whose main ideology is the manifestation of the ancient Egyptian religion of Set and Apep and all of those guys.
Keeping in mind that Seth Lewitt's in the same room with us.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
I basically tend to say, yes, I've heard a little about the Cobra Cabal. I believe they're some sort of Egyptian religious group.
Some fanatical organization?
Most religious groups tend to be. With the exception of the Church of England, of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Notice how everyone always accepts their own religion rather than accepting that perhaps all religions share the same tendency toward ideological fanaticism. I, sir, am the high priest of the Order of the Cobra.
I see.
I have no reason to hide it.
I'm sorry, I had no idea.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm just going to toss that right at you because your American sass completely befuddles this guy. I don't know if it's just because he hasn't met enough Americans. He gets it. The cutting British comments, not a problem. He deflects those. Every time Joey says something in that Yankee kind of way, just and he's like, holy, what the hell? So, nice work.
For a second, I feel a slight kinship.
Was it? I'm wondering why he invited Archibald Prester in the first place. You've got him suspected.
Do you want to ask him?
Yeah. Oh. Why?
Yeah. Now that he's fully admitted, yes, I am a Cobra Commander.
You know, given was it their hatred for you, as we can see. Why would you invite him in the first place?
I don't know. I think
place?
He's more like a serpent.
You'd almost was it guaranteed he's going to try.
I believe Prester is a dolt, but he's a crafty enough dolt. But let's just say that I prefer my spiders to be out in the open rather than hiding in the shadows. Therefore, I brought him out in the open.
Perhaps the thrill of the
keep your enemy close is the basic idea. Okay. As I suspect you came to do on my behalf. That is why you're here, isn't it?
Not really. We do not consider you an enemy, sir.
Well, that's
we were
nice
just
to
here
know.
Sent to witness the unveil.
We consider you an unknown factor, and we're extremely curious.
Was it?
Because we're all completely sincere about that.
I'm not so naive as to think that the Century Club does not have concerns about me and my order. I do hope that we can come to some sort of an agreement, an alliance, a meeting of the minds, because I am not what I believe your superiors paint me to be.
Well, then this will happen after the presentation. Yeah. Surely if...
Which is why you are here and why I am making the presentation publicly.
And why we can't, obviously, as a... crap, what the hell? Brain fart.
Oh. You were batting a thousand, man.
Damn it. Hold on.
See, and then this is why somehow, some way, we're supposed to be throwing fate chips around and tagging aspects so that when we ourselves can't think of clever things to say, our characters still can have clever things to say. But you know the funny thing about it is we're just so much in the habit of talking through these things that it's hard to remember to toss the aspects around. Mm-hmm. And we get on a roll and we are liking it. I mean, we can use the, we use the aspects when we think to, but half the time it's just fun to talk through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Now if there were a player here who could couldn't talk his way out of a paper bag and was really shy and was getting shafted out of everything because everybody else was talking all the time, then that would be something where we'd want to make sure that there was a balance. But so
we all love to talk.
Have we come up with it yet?
Crap, I lost it again.
See, I was trying to deflect your thinking. So go ahead.
Which is, obviously, you just mentioned why we would have a conflict of interest in being your guard, sir.
Well, as I said, I was hoping that you had appreciated my efforts to keep you alive and healthy throughout the weekend.
Oh, and we do. Yeah. Of course we do.
I think
we can safely say that we wouldn't want either you or what you're going to be unveiling to fall into the wrong hands.
What I'm asking, and I appreciate that.
But so asking
the
only, us
so the only step beyond that that I'm requesting from you, in return for what I have done already and what I promise I will do, not just for you, but for your entire organization, to share all of this information equally and to disseminate it and to pursue it jointly. This is what I have to offer. And all I am asking for in exchange for that is for the four of you, for the next 12 hours, not to allow your belief that I am one of the possible wrong hands myself.
Because snakes don't have hands.
So he's talking, we won't let us say.
Give me the benefit of the doubt, and I will show you that I am not the man you think me to be. Give me the benefit of the doubt, and you and your organization will benefit. Keep this from falling into the hands of IRA terrorists, however beautiful they may be, and keep it from falling into the hands of my arch enemies, the Spider Cabal. And...
hey, they're my arch enemies!
So we have an arch enemy in common. Surely we can find a bridge.
Or German saboteurs, for that matter.
Yes.
Or German saboteurs, for that matter. Well put, sir. Well put, Mr. Rocket.
Feeling left out?
No.
I'm slightly feeling left out.
No, said, I don't feel left out.
You can share my
Romero will be around someday. I couldn't get everybody I thought about it. I thought seriously about trying to get everybody's arch rivals to show up at the same time.
One big comedic pile of crap.
Yeah.
No, the...
So anyway... that's basically his pitch.
Right.
And he's very sincere seeming, I mean, and he's persuasive and passionate and all of those things, and throwing chips at everybody. So this is what it comes down to. Are you taking the chips? You each get a chip. If you at least, I mean, I'm not saying that you have to be loyal to him.
Okay, right.
I'm not saying anything beyond you're saying, okay, all right.
Here's what I'm going to say, and you tell me whether you get the chip or I get the chip.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, go ahead.
As long as what you're doing doesn't endanger Great Britain, I have no objection.
My loyalty to Britain is impeccable, unquestionable, and unassailable. I would never harm the British Crown or the British people.
I'm taking the chip.
Oh. Is that, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. We'll see. And I'll take that doubt away from you. No, was it,
what is it he's... What is the specific pledge that we're taking, sir?
All you're saying is... basically, give him the benefit of the doubt. Do not attempt to prevent him from keeping the artifact that he shows tonight. Let him walk out of here with it unmolested. And in addition... it seems to me that you guys have already decided, well, we're not going to let anybody else walk out of here with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm going to let him walk out of here, but I'm not going to. I'll lie to him.
So, basically, he's saying, he's not actually asking you to pledge, necessarily. He's basically saying, give him the benefit of the doubt.
And
don't think
basically.
Of him as one of the people who intends to misuse this discovery. He, in fact, is trying to say he's going to share it. And he's not going to keep it and try to conquer the world with it.
I agree to give him the benefit of a doubt, but I'm still going to think of him as potentially...
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not asking...
about that anymore.
No, really. I can't compel
under
that.
Under those circumstances, I would take it.
Okay.
Because...
I have to think about me in
a way. I'm going to like
that. Well, okay, but if you're lying, don't take the chip. You know what I'm saying? No, listen. Wait.
Isn't it this? Was it when he says he walks out, if we decide that no one should get the item,
Look, trust me, this is Mick to the players.
All right.
Out of character.
Right.
I am not going to say, hey, I gave you a chip. You are forced to do whatever the hell he says now. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, make an in-character agreement with this man. Yes, I will not automatically assume that you are an evil man.
Okay.
And as long as you comport yourself properly throughout the proceedings this evening, then you can walk out of here with your discovery. And we will not mess with you unless you turn on us.
And if he turns on us, then we'll do our best to kill him.
And he wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, that, see that, that.
So does that make more sense?
That makes sense, and that's
okay.
Fine.
I should have clarified that before. I'm sorry. So, Joey, you're the only one who holds out at this point.
If you just want a bubbly blonde to offer it to him,
oh yeah.
Think of the king
or
the commentator or whatever it is you colonials have.
The what? Commentator.
I don't keep up on my American politics. The precedent.
Here's the funny thing that I think. I mean, we don't. This hasn't been explicitly decided, you know, but you could make a good case that Joey, to a certain extent, might be. Might have conflicting compulsions going on here. On the one hand, he probably is tempted to take this chip, right? Is that true?
No.
You're not tempted at all? No. Okay. Well, then don't take the chip. So, never mind the conflicting compulsion. Could you, I mean, this again is not, this is not in character, this is you talking to me out of character. So that I know whether or not you deserve a chip here.
Are you
wait, not from Seth Lord, but are you doing this in any way out of loyalty to another person who may have added a temporary aspect of perceived loyalty? Is there someone else that you are thinking, well, but?
This is what Joey's thinking.
Okay.
Yes, the little letter has tacked on another straw.
Okay.
But there's also the fact that he knew that she was going to be here because even though all communications were down, all avenues were down, he was able to compile in one night a 1,000-page dossier on her.
That just means that he's an evil mastermind with some means of immediate communication. That you guys don't have access to. It doesn't
with
mean...
Photoshop quality.
Oh, no.
No, that doesn't fly with Joey.
She's been Photoshopped into all these windows.
Well, with pictures but there and everything, was a Zeppelin can... here last night.
And I could easily ask Smitty about it.
I'm just...
But no, no, no. That idea is grounded. That's not flying for Joey.
Okay. So you're convinced that the only way the dossier could be here is if he had it before the before everybody got stranded by the storm.
He had a
which
plan.
Which means at the beginning of the weekend.
Which means, in Joey's mind, he had a plan.
That's cool. So, that's fine.
He will pledge that he will do, that he will protect the people, and that he will protect the interests of the Centurions.
Okay.
And he will not take a chip.
Very well. Okay. Anything else you guys need to say to Seth Lord?
Nope.
He's somewhat disgruntled because you have somewhat sidestepped his request. And there is a building...
Oh, yes.
There's a there building is. Disgruntlement between the two of you anyway.
We're building a lovely bridge of hate.
You have become much more of an unpredictable wild card than he gave you credit for when he found out that you were coming. So, bravo to that. We're going to have to step this up a little.
I love to challenge a good game.
But anyway, that being the case, he's done, and this meeting is over unless you guys need to say anything else to him.
I think so.
He believes he has gotten as much as he can possibly get out of this meeting. Do you guys believe you've gotten as much as you can get out of it?
Yeah.
All right. So then he excuses himself and says, enjoy your drink, and goes. Miller opens the door. and invites you all to exit it and have a nice few hours until dinner time.
We ask Ben Chips to not be intimidated by Bill.
We won't.
We won't.
And
let's have a party.
That's a logical place to stop it.
If I may,
I could bring some kind of wacky ass.
I'd like to do one last
cliffhanger
thing
down on us, but okay, go ahead.
If everyone would be kind enough to come into my room for a short period,
sure.
All right, I lead everyone to my room. I pull out a suitcase I've got, which has a bunch of books on various mystical subjects and religions and so on.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't.
Yes, the suitcase.
The suitcase of mysteries.
Yes, the Kerber Cabal. A group of Egyptian...
Order of the Cobra.
Order of the Cobra. Also known as the Cobra.
Don't call me a cabal! I ain't no cabal!
Oh, God. Then in some circles, there's a Cobra Cabal. Under the elite Cobra Commander.
Hey!
And his partner, Destro.
It's an entirely different organization. They stole it.
It's the popular Cobra Front, not the
Cobra. The People's Cobra Front. Not the Cobra Front of the people.
All right.
The Cobra Liberation.
Cobra Front for Liberation.
It's
Front for Liberation of Cobra.
It's the People's Cobra Front.
Yeah. Boy, it's amazing we didn't descend into this a long time ago.
Anyway,
yes.
I start pulling out books.
He's pulling out mystical books.
Flipping them to a certain page and handing them to each of you. Devoted to the ideology of the god Set, Lord of Darkness. Right. A pep, an enemy of the sun, and I basically start rattling off the theologies of Set and Apep, which were considered evil by the Egyptians, the people who worship their dead.
Now wait, evil is a later religion. In the early religion, they were just tricksters.
They were mostly evil.
Yeah, they were just misunderstood.
Despite some assertions by Professor Bradley here, they were in fact considered evil at the time. So yes, I'm pulling out books and telling everyone what I know about this Egyptian mythology.
Okay, so
wow,
you guys get to study Egyptian mythology for a week until we get back.
Mind numbing.
Spirit of the century.
Century.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I think that will conclude the festivities for this evening. Yeah. And we will stretch next week into the seventh session of our one-shot.
One-shot adventure.
So we're going to actually... No. Not refresh. We're going to keep the amount that we have.
No, you'll refresh.
Okay. So what was the point of taking the chip to begin with?
Because we might have gotten to something.
Might theoretically have.
You never know what will happen.
Well, you know, it's not like I'm going to be like, well, I might as well not give him any chips in the last 30 seconds. Thanks for listening to The Roll Monkey, starring Clay Carwan, Mark Kinney, Max Massey, Chris Heim, and me. I'm Mick Bradley. We appreciate you joining us. Thanks to Anim5 for his great bumpers and promos. Music for the show is from the Podsafe Music Network. It's called Pod Theme by Intellect. You can find out more about The Roll Monkeys by visiting humpingmonkey.com. I also encourage you to visit allgamesconsidered.blogspot.com. See you next week.